Today I'd like to talk to you all about a little less known person in the Bible. To start off, I'd like to give a little history of who this guy was and why he's so important. So I'll start off with the title of the message, and it's Mephibosheth, A Story of Redemption. Mephibosheth, A Story of Redemption. And yes, I did practice saying Mephibosheth over and over again, and I knew I was going to mess it up, but that's a pretty difficult name. Jonathan was the son of King Saul. You can read about him in 1 Samuel 13 through 2 Samuel chapter 3. I will be highlighting different events from his life. So if you want to go ahead and get into your Bible, and we're going to start in 2 Samuel in chapter 4. That's where we'll begin. So, Jonathan was a noble man of true character, faith, and integrity. Despite Saul's hatred of David, he and David were very close friends, and Jonathan protected David and helped him escape Saul. Since David was married to his sister Michal, or Michal, Jonathan was also David's brother-in-law. Jonathan was not at all like his father Saul. He was known for his deep love and loyal friendship, faith in God, while Saul repeatedly showed foolishness, pride, and disobedience. God rejected Saul's kingship and replaced him with David. Jonathan was faithful to the Lord and even positioned himself against his father politically. He had known that God had chosen David to be the next king. We see in 1 Samuel 20:16 that Jonathan had made a covenant with the house of David and therefore recognized David's family rather than his own as a chosen line of kingship. We also see in 1 Samuel 31 that in the battle with the Philistines, Jonathan was killed alongside with two of his brothers, Abinadab and Malchi Shua. Saul himself was also badly wounded and ordered his armor bearer to slay him. When the armor bearer refused to take King's life, Saul then fell on his own sword. His armor bearer also did, and like he killed himself because he couldn't bear to be around. Jonathan's 5-year-old son, Mephibosheth, was the last of the line of Saul. He was crippled on the day that his household received the news of Jonathan's death, and we see that in 2 Samuel 4. So, you should be there already, 2 Samuel 4, and we're going to start in verse 4. 2 Samuel 4, verse 4. Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son who was lame in his feet. He was 5 years old when the news about Saul and Jonathan came from Jezreel, and his nurse took him up and fled, and it happened as she made haste to flee that he fell and became lame. His name was Mephibosheth. In haste to leave for their lives, Mephibosheth was crippled for the rest of his life. According to 2 Samuel 9, verse 4, he was hidden in a place called Lo Debar, which means no communication or no pasture. It's a desolate place that some of the commentaries that I read referred it to as the ghetto of the Old Testament. Although it wasn't a nice place to hide, it was very good when it came to saving one's own life. Let's continue in 2 Samuel 9 and verse 1. 2 Samuel 9, verse 1. And you may recall that David, in the previous chapter, had ascended to the throne and was now in position to keep his promise to his friend Jonathan, which he would take care of Jonathan's family. So, 2 Samuel 9, verse 1. Now David said, "Is there anyone who is left of the house of Saul, that I may show kindness for Jonathan's sake?" And there was a servant of the house of Saul whose name was Ziba. So when they had called him to David, the king said to him, "Are you Ziba?" He said, "At your service." Verse 3. Then the king said, "Is there not still someone of the house of Saul to whom I may show kindness of God?" And Ziba said to the king, "There is still a son of Jonathan who is lame in his feet." So the king said to him, "Where is he?" And as we had said before, we know that he was in Lo-Debar. So let's drop down to verse 6. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, had come to David, he fell on his face and prostrated himself. Then David said, "Mephibosheth?" He was probably trying to pronounce it too. I'm just kidding. And he answered, "Here is your servant." So David said to him, "Do not fear, for I will surely show you kindness for Jonathan, your father's sake, and will restore to you all the land of Saul, your grandfather, and you shall eat bread at my table continually." Then he bowed himself and said, "What is your servant that you should look upon such as a dead dog as I?" So we see here that Mephibosheth is completely at David's mercy. He is, after all, the king, and it was customary in those days that when another house rose to kingship, that all from the previous line were killed. But did he do that? No. No, David didn't do that at all. He showed great mercy. David showed treatment to Mephibosheth much like how God has treated us. So here's a couple parallels as we are to Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth's lineage made him a rival to the king. However, God wants us to be part of his lineage. Since he was from the line of Saul, he was thought he was hated, and we know through the scriptures that God loves us. He was crippled by a fall, such as we have all been spiritually crippled by what happened in the Garden of Eden. He was sought and brought before the king, but God seeks to have us in his presence. Mephibosheth was an exile, much like sin has separated us and exiled us from the face of God. He was in hiding from the king, much as Adam and Eve hid from God when they sinned. God wants to show us mercy. Mephibosheth was under fear of being put to death, just like we are because of the wages of sin. Last of all, Mephibosheth thought David was his enemy, but as it turned out, he was his friend. So to sum up, Mephibosheth was disinherited from the line of Saul. He was deformed from his fall. He thought he was doomed, and he was deceived. He was disinherited from the line of kingship from his family by giving David the throne. He was deformed, as we had said before, as he was crippled. He was doomed because he was hiding for his life in Lo-Debar. And he was deceived because, though he was from another line, he was sure that he would be put to death. As we saw before in 2 Samuel 9, verse 1, Mephibosheth was brought before David's throne, but he had to make the decision to stay. David desired to treat him like his own family. Now we know that God shows us mercy and forgiveness, much like David did. So we see also in verse 7 of 2 Samuel 9 that he was shown mercy. So David said to him, and I'm just reading over verse 7, "Do not fear, for I will surely show you kindness for your Jonathan, your father's sake, and will restore you all the land of Saul, your grandfather, and you shall eat bread at my table continually." So David restored the family's wealth to Mephibosheth and made him a guest at the table of King David. Mephibosheth was given mercy, and he was also given fellowship. At the end of verse 7, he says, "You shall eat at my table continually." 4 different times it was mentioned that Mephibosheth would sit at David's table. In this day, as well as that day, to sit down at someone's table as their guest signifies one of the most intimate relationships. So not only did he receive the king's mercy, he received the king's fellowship. Mercy surely is fantastic and much needed, but it's not the best part of salvation. Fellowship with our Creator is. Thank you, God, for your mercy. So we see that Mephibosheth gets the king's mercy, he gets fellowship, and he even gets to partake of the king's fortune. at the verses 9 and 10, and I'll read them for you. And the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said to him, I have given your master's son all that belonged to Saul and to all his house. Verse 10, you therefore and your sons and your servants shall work the land for him and shall bring in the harvest that your master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, your master's son, shall eat bread at my table always. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. So Mephibosheth was given a share of the king's fortune, and just as he received inheritance, so shall we inherit the earth. But wait, it gets better. Not only do we get the king's mercy, fellowship, fortune, we also get sonship. So let's look at verse 11. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table like one of the king's sons. There was a time when we too were rivals, outcast, and crippled, and then we received Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. We then ratified the terms of the covenant by baptism and submission to God's authority. Then with God's promise, we too shall be seated at the king's table, as Mephibosheth was. And as shown in Scripture, we are also called the sons and daughters of the Almighty God. It was not because of who you are or that you deserve such a gift, but it's because of who God is. So let's not forget that. This gift is not deserved for anyone, but God has chosen us to be His children to sit at His table. You and I know that we are not only worthy, so don't start thinking that we are. Know that by His mercy and His love, we have been granted sonship. By keeping God's laws and statutes, which is required, it gives us the promise of being part of God's redemption. I am most thankful for God's love, mercy, and promise. We can and will be redeemed and pardoned from the death, sit at God's table, share in His riches, best of all, like Mephibosheth, become to David, as to God, part of God's family.